Welcome to the Beers with Bands podcast with your host, Michael Torres.
Listen, I would imagine you listen to the entire podcast when you mix it, right?
Yeah.
You should start like clipping out, like since you have video now, you should start. What's up, fuck?
What up?
Fuck teeth. You fucking piece of shit, you ugly motherfucker.
You piece of shit, motherfucking asshole.
Well, we're going to start this podcast out. I'm going to take issue with something with you immediately.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it to me.
You haven't said anything about my mustache.
Dude, we talked about it on the fucking tour. But I don't know if you fucking remember that shit.
I do.
I said you look like you look like a petter ass. That's what I said.
A petterite?
A petter ass. It means a Pedialyte drinker.
It's all I gotta say. That's gold. all right. So what I'll do is I'll crack my Coke, and then kind of do the intro, bring both you in.
Another white boy with a podcast. I don't know what you want, but I know it's not the same thing. I know what I want and I can see it's just not doing it for you. But I don't know what to do and I know you're tired of waiting. Guess it's just a hard truth but I can see it in your eyes and we are through. Wish I loved anyone but anyone. Wish I loved anyone but anyone. Wish I...
What is up everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Beers with Bands. This week... I'm very happy and stoked. I have Tightwire back on the podcast. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Obviously, we're missing a few members, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, those fucking assholes. Yeah.
The least where important. You know, we're not missing anybody.
Not really, no. Right. We're the most important guys here.
You know what? He doesn't even need to be here. I'm clearly...
Honestly, yeah, I really don't need to be here. You guys, are we good?
Yeah. All
right, I'll see you later.
Thanks for coming through. See ya. I mean, this is a pretty special episode because not only is it probably the last in-person episode that I'll be doing in this house, since, you know, Charlie's Iron House is in the Bonaro. I bought a house. I'm moving out.
Congrats.
But I mean, you guys were also the first band that I ever had on the podcast.
No shit, already.
So, yeah, so it's full circle.
Wow, we're special.
Yeah.
We're really special.
We were really the first band?
Yep.
No shit.
Wow.
High five, everybody.
High fives.
That wasn't weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
High five, everybody.
But yeah, that was 2019. Lots changed since then. I mean, I moved to the Twin Cities. We had a great old pandemic. Lineup has changed.
That was really fun.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great time.
A lot of fun. Good for our band.
I actually really loved it.
Yeah.
I hate seeing people.
Because you didn't have to see us. You didn't have to see Tightwire. Like, well, Tightwire's not doing stuff. This is awesome.
No, it really changed the dynamic of our band and the fact that, like, we didn't practice. And I think my least favorite part of being in a band is practicing.
Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah, I don't like doing it.
I mean, we all started a punk band. Like, it was supposed to be sloppy and shitty. Yeah, like,
Your practice should just be at the show when you're playing.
And I usually, like with my other band, Dingus, a lot, I'll be like, hey, can we just cancel this week? I'm like, I'm not really feeling it. Like, yeah, totally. I'm like, great.
Yes. It feels so good. It's like calling in sick to work.
Yeah.
It like feels like better than having a day off.
Yeah. You're like, can we just skip practice? What the fuck do we need to practice for? We don't have a show.
I remember when Resident Evil 4 came out. I think that's where my association for calling in sick. Like, I never did a sick day when I was in school my whole life. But then my parents got me Resident Evil 4, I think, for like Christmas one year. And I wasn't even like a video game player. But I got so addicted to that game that, like, Christmas break ended and I was still playing it. And I faked sick for 3 days to finish
just
the game.
Just to play that game. That game is like, great. It's, like,
and
probably one of my favorite games of all time. It's so good.
And, like, the amount of dopamine I got when my parents believed me every day.
Just, oh,
oh, I can God. Just lay on the couch and play this again. Oh, this is great. Oh, my life is so good. You know, people pride themselves on not calling in sick for work for like 5 years, and I'm like, God, you're so lame, because it feels so good when you do it, especially when you're not sick.
What always happened to me was I would try and, you know, be sick from school, so like I would stay home, but then it would also work out where it's also my dad's day off, so I'm just like, well, fucking cool, guess I can't really do, I gotta stay in my room and actually act like I'm sick this entire time.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite part was if I called in sick from school or it was a snow day, watching The Price is Right with Bob Barker back in the day. That was like my favorite part. I don't know why. I think it was because it came on at 10 a.m. I'm like, I should really be in school right now. But instead, I'm watching Bob Barker kill it.
The only regret I have is like not, like, I didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones. I didn't have a cell phone until I was like a junior in high school. And
I was
like
senior, yeah.
And like still even then, like when I got my first cell phone, we never text messaged. But like, man, I would be the biggest piece of shit nowadays. Like if I were still in high school, I would fake sick, and then I would just be constantly texting my friends, like, hey, how's school? Like sending them pictures of like me just like, oh, just jacked off for the third time. How's school, buds?
How's school, bitch? You had to be in school. Oh, what a little bitch.
I just watched my 7th episode of Mandalorian and ate macaroni and cheese.
And watched porn for an hour. It was great. Yeah. Yeah, well, we were the first band on the podcast.
Yeah, you guys were the first band on the podcast. Okay. But yeah, lots changed since then. Obviously, there's been member changes.
First white boys on a podcast.
Definitely the first white boys on the podcast is what we are.
Yeah. But yeah, there's been member changes. Obviously, switched out Paul for Paul, and then gained Noel from Rational Anthem to now do a 4-piece for Tyware rather than the original 3, which, I mean, I gotta say, those first few shows, especially like when Aaron was playing and I seeing Tyware as like a 5-piece, that just seemed really weird.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was because Aaron was there. We're like, Aaron, listen, this is not gonna work out. You're weirding people out.
Yeah, that's true.
You're scaring people. You're 7 feet tall, and you're scaring people. No, Aaron just didn't want to do it.
No, yeah, I'm just kidding.
The reason the 5-piece happened. I don't think I've ever said this anywhere else. The reason the 5-piece happened. Is because there was a lot more people that were supposed to play guitar for Tyware, because
wasn't the story like you kept asking people and everyone said yes?
Yeah.
Like, well, okay.
I'm gonna leave it at that because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I didn't think we were gonna be without Paul Kettler when Paul quit. I thought like, oh, he'll just come back. He always does, you know. I was like that naive like ex-boyfriend that was like, ah, she's gonna come back. She always does.
Right.
And then COVID restrictions started letting up, and I was like, oh fuck, he's not gonna come back. And we're still cool with Paul. We love Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he listens to this, he knows we're cool. Like I just talked to him a couple weeks ago. I got stressed, and so I started just frantically texting everybody, because I was like, no one wants to be in our dumb band. So I just started texting everybody that I could think of that I wanted in the band, people that were friends, and lo and behold, we had like 8 fucking people that were like, yes, I want to do it. And just through the process of like waiting, you know, I was like, all right, well, you gotta learn all these songs. And then I was just like, hopefully fucking people just don't want to do it because they don't want to sit here and like learn these dumb songs. But then it turned out like Aaron learned them all and Noel learned them all and Paul learned them all. Paul, the current Paul. And I just didn't have, like, I'm like, That's the problem with asking your friends is, like, you don't have the heart to say, I know you spent all this time learning these songs. Even though they're not super hard to learn, you still spend time. And I don't have money to pay you for doing that. So I reserved this as, like, well, I guess we're just going to be a fucking five-piece now. Right. Because I don't know. I can't tell these people that I love in my life. No, you... And I'd rather have these two.
Yeah.
Or I'd rather have this one. You know? So, like, that's how that happened. But I loved playing as a five-piece. Like, other than, like, trying to figure out how the fuck we set up on small stages.
Yeah, because at Part Wolf, that stage is not big enough for usually even three people, and you guys right. all managed to get up there.
Yeah.
It sounded really good. I thought it sounded, like, full as fuck. I was like, holy shit.
This that first show back at Part Wolf was, I thought was, like, maybe our best Minneapolis show we ever played. And I had so much fun. I almost, like, lost a tooth because I threw my bass in the air and fucking smoked myself right in the face. But, like, you know, and then Aaron even went out and we played as a five-piece in Chicago and had a fucking great time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and just lucky for us, Aaron was like, you know, I don't want to do it.
So like, that works out kind of good.
All right, thanks, buddy.
That was kind of one too many people.
But. As you're sitting there, like, erasing the text of just like, hey, can you not be in the band anymore? It's like, oh, okay,
thanks. I never texted anything like that. I just spent a lot of nights thinking, like, why did I ask so many people? Like, why are you fucking, you know...
Maybe it's like you were in a panic or something. Like,
I mean, realistically, I don't know,
like, who's going to be in our band?
Realistically, everybody. It was like, I'm going to send out mass texts and only one person is going to respond.
Right.
That's what I thought would happen. And we were just going to continue to be a three piece, but I'm happy it worked out the way it does. I think all rock and roll bands should be a four piece. Like, I just think having rhythm guitar sounds great because,
you know, not to say that there's not great three pieces
like Dingus.
Exactly.
No, there, I think we played, I was very happy with the way we sounded as a three piece, but I'm even more happy that we have four people that are happy to do this.
Yeah.
You know, that, like,
they're into it. And there's two guitars, and I always thought two guitars sounds better.
It does sound better.
I've tried to convince Dingus guys to do that too, and they're just not into it. Yeah. But
no, yeah, you guys sound great as a four piece, and, like, just the crew that you've gathered to do this, like, fits I think the vibe and, like, everything that you guys are doing super well. I mean, obviously Paul Mullaney and Noel, that's who I'm talking about, and, like, I can't imagine Tightwire now without this lineup.
Well, I'm glad you think so, because it was really weird to start it like this, or to start over like this out of the pandemic. But yeah, mm-hmm. I'm very happy about it too.
Yeah, those guys are both really into it, so I'm pretty happy about it as well.
Well,
yeah.
Noel's not a guy.
Well, you know, the guys is in. You know, I go to a group of people and I say, "You guys."
Oh wait.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm glad those people.
If I could be honest, I think Tightwire was better as a two piece, but like a two piece. Like, I found this out.
Like, well, we need a drummer though. No. So I mean, like, you know.
No, I recently found this out on Sunday, this past Sunday, 2 days ago. Noel and I played an acoustic set together, and I was like, man, Noel, let's just do this ourselves because. You know,
it's all good. I'm good.
Yeah, I tried getting your assistance for a moment at the show.
At the show?
Yeah. I called you twice and texted you.
You called me twice on Sunday?
Yeah, and texted you.
Let me.
Oh, shit, he's going to the phone.
Let's prove this. Okay, let's see. He texted me. Let's see. I never got a... Look, Friday is the last text I got from you, and then today at 10 a.m. Like, maybe you sent it, maybe I just, like, didn't get it. My phone didn't get it.
Maybe.
Because, like, that's... It's, like, what? Yeah, Friday?
I'm not there.
I don't know.
No, go down there. Go down.
This is today. This is Friday. And I said, not right now, maybe later. I'm at work. Okay, and then it's today.
Let me see. Hey, what's the square passcode?
Yeah, at 7:15 right now, you sent that to me.
Oh, maybe you just got it.
shit, I'm sorry, dude. I was definitely asleep.
All right, well, you know what? Noelle pocketed all that money, and I don't know if she's going to give me any of it. So.
Well, we'll strong arm it out of her.
Okay.
Well, so the show was good on Sunday?
Yeah, show was great. First time ever playing a theater.
Yeah.
700 people.
That's a lot.
And Noelle and I crushed it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it for us, huh?
That's it.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
We're doing the podcast, and then...
You know, it's fun to reminisce about times I was in the band. Now I'm out.
Yeah.
Peace.
We have a new record coming out, and Parker is not going to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's all acoustic.
All right.
I think that's the second time I got kicked out of the band during this podcast.
Yeah, we'll just have to rack it up. Keep going. Yeah, so one of the main reasons you guys are on today is you have a new record coming out in June. The time that this podcast comes out will probably be a week or two after that. So it's, you know, it's already got like 15 million streams on all the platforms.
I'm positive of that.
It's a new full length called Head Full of Snakes. Thank you. I know we had some hassle, but thank you for sending over the record ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm glad we got it to you like 15 minutes before this podcast started.
I probably listened to it at least 6 to 10 times today.
Well, that works because it's
in 15 only like, minutes you could listen to it six to ten times.
That is true. But I mean, with this, and you know, obviously this is just my opinion. You do see kind of a new change in Tightwire from, you know, the last record, 6 Feet Deep, where that one seemed more, even though it was a lot of, like, songs about a person, this one seems more dark and deep in parts of the record, but I loved the evolution of the sound and seeing where you guys are taking this now. Obviously, Paul's not in the band, and I know we've talked about how he can write some killer hooks, and now it's
well, Paul. Yes. Paul, as much as he, you know, he doesn't play with us currently, he did write a lot of the stuff that went on this record still.
Okay.
I
think there's like 3 or 4 songs that he wrote,
yeah,
on this record.
And like, there's no bad blood between us,
right?
If I had my way and I could get Paul to agree with it, which maybe he'll listen to this podcast and this will change his mind, I would love if Paul still wrote music with us, because the three of us wrote a lot of great songs together that I really loved. I felt like we were really all on the same page. And then after he left, you know, the rest of the album was just a lot of me starting ideas and being stressed out about it. And then giving it to Parker and Noelle and Paul and having them try to like help me piece it together. But you know, the biggest difference between our first album and this album was the fact that we had 20 days to record the first album.
Mm-hmm.
We literally recorded that album in 20 days, got it mixed, got it mastered, and put it out. This time we had a whole quarantine and 2 extra years to record the same amount of time of music. I think the album is like 19 minutes long.
Yeah.
And we got to do it the way we wanted to do the first record.
Because
The first record was not recorded. The first record was recorded in this room that we're currently doing this podcast in. The drums were recorded right where this coffee table is.
Yep.
We sat in what is Stefan's side room.
Oh yeah,
that was like our master control room, where we were listening back to what was being recorded on guitar, bass, and everything, and we recorded it all in about 20 days. Mm-hmm. Like the whole thing was like we had the songs already for the most part,
right?
But we had to record them all so fast that we had no time to like make big decisions. It was just like, all right, that part's done, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Whereas like this time we had a lot of time. So like when we were working on a song, I could take 3 weeks to record all of my guitar parts and actually sit down and write, like, you know, all of the songs have like organ underneath the guitar parts that work with it. Mm-hmm. And I could actually like take time to do that versus being like, all right, this is good enough, I'm gonna lay it down and then it's gonna be that.
Right.
So the production on this record is much better. We got to choose the person who mixed the record this time, which we didn't have that option last time.
No.
Not that the person who mixed it last time was Matt Allison. He did like the Alkaline Trio records.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. He like, if it would have got mixed by anybody else, it would not have sounded half as good as it sounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Matt Allison is amazing. But we got to approach it in the way that we meant to approach the first album.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a firm believer in things sound the way that you perform them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a rush, you're not listening to like the intricacies that you're maybe trying to capture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm specifically me. Everybody else in the band like knocks shit out really fast, but I record myself because I will spend an hour recording 30 seconds because I know exactly the way I want it to sound going in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like kind of like a perfectionist that way.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I just
really wanted to sound this certain way, so I'm gonna take a long time.
Yeah,
doing it.
Yeah. And I've let that go a lot, and I can move faster now, but it's not that I know the way I want it to sound, it's that I know the way I don't want it to sound.
Mm.
And so, like, I'm very deliberate in, like, listening back and knowing, like, this was cool, but this little part just wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Did you have that same like mentality when you would do like all the Charlie Siren stuff as well?
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing with with Charlie Siren is we would rehearse for 6 months before recording.
Mm.
Whereas with Tight Wire, the first record, we got the record deal and they were like, let's put it out in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you, in order to make that happen, you have to have the recordings done in the next few weeks so we can send it off the pressing plant so you can have records on time.
Right.
So we didn't have that luxury of rehearsing. And then COVID happened for the second record.
Yeah.
So we didn't, and then I moved to Boston. So we had no luxury of, like, being able to rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, recording music with Charlie Siren was very quick in the studio, but it's because we spent 6 months practicing 3 times a week, so we all went in completely prepared.
Right.
And I think that is the best way to do it, but if you don't have that luxury or you don't have that option, than having a long time to record and having, you know, I mean, most of the stuff was played by just Parker and I. And then Noel sings on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Paul plays like a couple parts on it. But like mostly all the guitars, all the bass, all the organ, all the harmonies and stuff were sang by me and some friends. And we spent a lot of time on it. Because we had a lot of time.
Right.
So it's like if you don't get a lot of time to practice before recording, then take a lot of time recording. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I gotta say, it shows in this album. Like, it really, like, it was fun to listen to, and, like, I was already, even on the drive home when I was listening to it, like, I was already in the mode to, like, sing the hooks and, like, new, because, I mean, that's one thing I really liked about, and a lot of people liked about, like, 6 Feet Deep, is the catchy-ass hooks that are gonna get you, obviously, hooked on the song to keep listening to it and wanting to listen to it.
Sure.
And I was already in that mentality, even on the ride home. Like, I think this is a great album, a great follow-up, and it's great that it's kind of done how you guys wanted it to be done.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
It's like, listening to the new record, it sounds like a little more solid, like, mm-hmm. put together, like we did actually take the time and make it more polished, I guess, a little bit, you know? Yeah.
I'm personally extremely proud of it, and it's very hard for me to speak about something that I do in such, like, a positive way, because mm-hmm. I'm just so used to just shitting on everything I do.
I mean, you can, like, shit on it if you want.
No, I mean, it's not the greatest record in the world, but I would say that for anybody who listens to, like, Fest-style bands, anybody who likes Fat Records-type music, anybody who likes fucking Green Day or Ramones Core-type shit, I think it's the best record to come out in years. And I really hope people give it a chance to listen to, because I believe that these are the most catchy, fun, anthem, party songs. Also, some I Want to Kill Myself lyric songs that have come out in, like, the past, like, 5 years. I really think that this record is special, and I think people are going to really love it, and I hope everybody listens to it, because I am the most proud of anything I've ever done, been a part of. This was worth the 4 year, 5 year wait to put out 19 minutes of music.
Yeah. I repeat that sentiment. It's really good. It's like, of that, like, style of punk, like, it's probably, like, the best one I've heard in a few years. And,
I'm not saying we're going to be the greatest band in the world, but
but
we are going to be the greatest band in the world.
So, get ready.
Move over, Blink 182.
Blink 180 who?
Blink 180 who? Turnstile and White Reaper are going to wish they went on tour with us after this record.
Instead
comes
of
out.
Blink 182.
Blink 180 who?
Yeah.
When you played Sunday with Origin Grace, have you started playing these songs live?
Yeah, I think this was meant for you. This question was meant for you, Parker.
I played with Laura Jane Grace.
Yeah, yeah, remember?
When I called myself, I was like, hey, what's the Square password, you idiot? I left myself that voicemail.
Parker.
Wake up, Parker. I need the Square password.
So when I played with my very best friend, Laura Jane Grace, I'm glad you asked that. My oldest, longest friend, Laura Jane Grace.
Known her since grade school.
I've known her forever. Went
to kindergarten together.
Yeah, I would say she's my mentor, but I believe she would say that I'm her mentor. You know.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah.
What was the question again?
Basically, have you started playing these live, and, like, what's the reception been on these newer songs compared to, like?
Oh, yeah.
Since introducing them.
Really good. We started playing a couple of them before, like, we started playing a couple of them when Paul Kettler was still in the band.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, they're like Bad Things was written with Paul,
And I think we played Bitter Pill.
Bitter Pill was written with Paul.
Yeah.
And we were playing those because we were so sick of just playing the first record. Mm-hmm. And the first record is only 18 minutes long.
Yeah.
And when you get asked to, like, be, like, the support band, you have to play for more than fucking 18 minutes. So, yeah, like yeah, like we 30, were...
40 minutes? Like, okay, yeah. I guess we gotta write more songs.
We just add, no, you just add 10 minutes of banter for no reason.
So
yeah, sometimes. That's sometimes what happens.
I think anybody who's, like, followed the band, some of these songs won't be new to them because we have been playing them for...
And we've been playing,
we've been playing them pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then in the past, I don't know, like 10 or 15 shows we played like three of them or three or four of them at every set, like Party and Bitter Pill and Bad Things and maybe that's it. So maybe just three. I don't know. But see, we've been playing them the last few sets.
Yeah, I thought I was kind of going crazy thinking that I had heard some of these, but I also, like, we lived together for a time, so I know you were recording stuff when you were still in the house. So that it was like a mind, like, everything blended together of, like, have I either listened to this at a show already, or have I just heard Tane yell it so many times through the wall that I already know what's going on?
I finished my record, probably a combination of both.
Yeah.
I finished the record. Well, and we've released one song. We released Anyone But You.
Oh, yeah, Anyone But You. Oh, yeah, that's the first one. So we've been playing that live, too.
That song's been out for over a year now.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I finished the record living here this past year. I mean, other than, like, some, like, bells and whistles, mm-hmm. like, harmonies and shit like that. But, like, I finished it, so, like, I'm sure that you heard me fucking being obnoxious upstairs, trying to, like, finish parts. But, yeah, there's going to be a couple of songs that, like, people have, if you've gone to the shows, it'll kind of sound familiar, just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because we took a lot of time.
Like, yeah.
The first record had two guitars, bass, drums, a little bit of organ, and vocals. This one has, like, every song has, like, layered guitars. Like, we did, like, six guitar parts
mm-hmm.
layered on top of each other. The solos were actually deliberately played rather than, like, kind of freestyled. I got a lot better at playing the organ parts. So, like, I actually, like, played them, like, real rather than, like, you know, just kind of half-assing them and stuff. So everything is going to sound really deliberate and really tight, like a pop punk record should.
And it sounds a lot, I think it sounds a lot fuller than the first record, too.
Yeah.
Just because of all the layers and shit. It sounds, like, grand, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a grandiose record.
But yeah, we have played some of the songs live.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
At least I'm not going crazy. I mean, obviously everyone's favorite question and what they want to know too is, I know that the merch industry is still kind of, at least for vinyl, is still kind of delayed, but like, what's your guys' plan for physical releases for this?
Well, it's going to be on vinyl and CD.
Hell yeah.
And it will be there. And I know this because I have a million boxes of vinyl and CDs sitting in my basement.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we already have them.
It's already there.
I got a copy in my house.
It's already there. So, and it sounds fucking great. You run it on, it's a 12-inch vinyl, but we printed it at 45 RPMs. So, I don't know anything about that, but I've been told that it sounds better when you run it at that speed. So we're going to have a 12-inch vinyl that you run at 45 RPMs.
That is kind of weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause usually it's what's a regular usually
12-inch? It's 33 RPM.
33 and a third or whatever.
Yeah. 33 and a third for like the regular size vinyl.
Yeah.
Like that.
But what I understand is more rotations per minute means better audio quality. So we're going to have the best sounding, richest vinyl that you've ever heard. Go spend $3,000 on getting your setup fine-tuned and prepare to strap in for 19 minutes of
pure glory.
Of pure audio
bliss.
Bliss.
Fuck yes.
An audio orgasm, all right?
I'm not saying it's going to be the best record, but I'm saying it's going to be the best record you've ever listened to.
I'm not saying it's going to be the best record, but I'm saying once you listen to it, you might come. All right, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Toby got the test presses, and he said he was going to jump off a cliff if he can't get another record that sounds that good out.
Yep, those are verbatim. I heard him say those words. I was there. Yep.
And then you said you're, I know we talked earlier before we start podcasting, but you're going on tour in June. Tell me a little bit, where are you going and who are you going with?
Wait, I know all the dates. Okay, so we're doing June, we're doing 3 dates with
The Queers and Teenage Bottle Rocket.
That's gonna start in Fargo. So it's gonna be Fargo.
June 8th.
Minneapolis.
June 8th, 9th, and 10th. And it's Fargo, Minneapolis, and Omaha.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just a 3-day thing. It's not
gotcha. Yeah,
a crazy tour.
We have a lot of sporadic stuff, and then we have end of July with an old Kung Fu Records band called Audio Karate. They were Kung Fu Records.
Or maybe it was Asian Man.
Yeah, it was one of those. But
Mike Park.
They're a fucking rad band. We're gonna do like Milwaukee, Chicago, and someplace else. So there's a lot. It's a lot of Midwest stuff, but. I'm currently working on fall stuff that's going to put us in pretty much everywhere else and maybe a little bit in Europe.
Ooh.
So
that would be tight.
So we'll be playing a lot of fucking places. Not so much this summer, but come the fall.
Okay. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know, I'll be there for that Minneapolis date because homies always roll out to support homies.
Yeah.
So. Fuck yeah, dude.
You guys didn't even make a comment on the shirt that I wore today.
I mean, I was going to, but I was like, well, people already get it.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't.
I don't know.
Who knows?
We used to be called drones.
If they don't, we used to be called drones.
Show the shirt.
I mean, they'll see the picture on the Instagram.
We used to be called drones. Now we're tight wire.
It's a cool shirt.
It's an old school shirt.
Nice. You know, and it's like the...
It shows that I've been there. You know?
Yeah.
You've been around since the beginning, so...
You're day one, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try. No, but like I said, this record is super good. I've enjoyed listening to it, and I'm stoked that you were able to put all the time that you wanted into this and get it to sound how you wanted, and I'm stoked for it to come out for everyone else to listen to.
Thanks, buddy.
Me too. It's going to be awesome.
Before we kind of transition to the later half, I know we kind of talked, you know, grievances, we talked the record, we talked a couple different things. But is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want the people to know? Whether it's this record or Tight Wire in general?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking. I mean, this is your time.
No, that's great. I don't have anything else to promote.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else that we're doing. We're playing shows and putting out a record. The record, I guess I will say, officially... The record is coming out on June 9th. 6/9/2023. We'll have like a music video or two come out before then. One of the music videos is us getting the shit beat out of us by pro wrestlers. So that's one to look out for.
Eric Cannon, First Wrestling.
Yeah.
Big ups.
And,
Local represent. I think that's it.
One other thing. I know we talked about your upcoming tours for the fall. You're also festing again this year.
Yeah, we're playing Fest.
Congratulations. You know, I know it was going to happen. You guys are a good Fest band. You guys have been doing it for the past few years.
Yeah,
we played it every year for the past.
But we've never played
five,
it with
6 years.
We've never played it with Gorilla Biscuits,
which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Gorilla Biscuits, The Descendants, And a million other bands. Yeah,
the lineup is
it's crazy this year.
Sick as ever.
My very best friend Laura Jane Grace.
Yeah.
My longest
childhood friend. Childhood friend. Our parents are friends.
Yeah.
We're little babies. We took baths together. Right. You know. Mm-hmm. We have pictures of that. You know.
We did. Yes.
Yeah. So many fucking good bands on it. Dillinger Four. You know. Always great to play those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, you guys are festing again. Always congratulations. Always, we're big supporters of the fest on this podcast, and I'm happy to see you guys continuing to go down there and have a good time.
Thanks, buddy.
Me too.
I'll make it down there one of these years.
Last year was like one of the best times I've ever had in my life.
You should come down this year.
So fun.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Try to make it happen.
We could like say like, oh, Michael's part of the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say part of the crew.
I've also rolled this idea around in my head about going to fest and also like working to set up a table where just everyone can, like, bands can just stop by, say
what's up,
for like a 5-10 minutes.
Great idea.
Just keep going.
You probably run that by, you probably like, you know, contact Tony and be like, hey, I got this podcast, like,
right.
I'm gonna set up a booth and like have bands come by and talk, like, what do you think, you know?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, there's booths of people doing stuff there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, who knows, maybe one of these days. Yeah. But you know, we're going to kind of transition to the later half of his episodes. If you remember from the last time you guys were on, granted, that was almost 4 years ago now. The later half of these episodes, we just talk about some fun stories from you guys' time music. I know we talked about some crazy stories the last time. I think there was a taser involved in one of those stories. But we don't need to repeat. If anyone wants to hear that one, they can find that episode and go check that one out. But in the 4 years since we've last sat down, what are some other crazy things that have happened in your guys' time music?
Oh, crazy shit.
They can also be amazing moments.
You know what? I want to say it. Well, okay, this is not... It's not like it's crazy, but, like... I think getting to tour with Chicks Dig It last year was fucking awesome because I, like, idolize those guys so much. And I did, like, for years and years. And then when we got asked to do this tour, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then, like, meeting KJ and those guys was, like, so awesome, and they were like the nicest fucking dudes ever, and like super like stereotypical Canadian, like just the most polite guys ever, but just super nice. It was so fucking, it was so much fun. So I want to say KJ and you guys, I fucking love you guys.
Yes,
that was so great.
I'll piggyback off that and say, like, you know, believe it or not, Laura Jane and I are not best friends.
Or it's really hard to believe. I know.
Long time friends. Even
what?
But but the I would say the coolest thing that's happened in the 4 years since is that we've continued to like to book shows with bands that that were like, wait, they want us to come on tour,
right?
Like, they know we suck, right? And just like my favorite part about, like, this is not a thing we do for money. It's never been a thing we did for money. If we did that, we're fucking idiots because we've been doing the worst at it. It's something that, because, like, we're legitimately fans of punk music. And had you told me, even when we did the first podcast, that I was ever going to get to fly to Tampa to play a specific show with Laura Jane Grace, I would have told you you're fucking crazy. And now I do. I get to be friends with that person. We get to go out with Chicks Dig It. I've been listening to that band since I was in fucking eighth grade.
Right.
Like, the amount of bands we've gotten to, like, share the stage with or share even like a 3-day run with has been, like, the best part of the history of this band, and will continue to be. The when we get to go to Europe, that's the first time we'll ever play in Europe.
It'll be the first time I've ever been to Europe.
Yeah.
So,
and
that's huge.
I you know, whether or not our band does anything spectacular in the way of, like, monetary success or any sort of success that's above playing for a few hundred people a night or whatever, which we get to do. It's just cool that we can continue to do this. And it's crazy because I'm from a town of like 5,000 people, and I never thought that I would ever amount to like doing anything other than just dreaming of doing this. And the fact that we get to like befriend these people that we've been listening to for decades,
right, and like maintain this like relationship with them, like, yeah. Laura Jane and like the D4 dudes and TBR, and like
I still get starstruck every time. Like I just hung out with Laura on Sunday, and then she commented on the post I made about the two of us, and I was like, hey, look, Laura Jane commented on it. And it was like, you know, and we went on a 2-mile walk, and like, I'm not trying to like show off that stuff. I feel like anytime I talk about it, it's like showing off. But it's not like that. What it is
it just feels great.
Is, yeah, the fact that I never thought this was ever gonna be in the cards, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we get to do this thing where we get to meet our musical heroes. And they're all fucking nice. They're all nice. I'm not going to name the dicks. There's a couple of them. There's a couple of people that have been disappointingly awful. I'm sure you fucking, if you dig deep enough, you'll figure it out. But everybody is fucking awesome and sweet and nice, and they treat you with respect. And like, I can't hide that part of me that I'm a fan of music. So when I hang out with the Chicks Diggits or whatever band we're on tour with that I love, I'm always going to be like, oh my God, you made my childhood amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
And everybody's so nice about it.
Yeah.
And
it's great.
But other than that, I don't know. We played a lot of tours, played a lot of shows, become a way better band, had a lineup change that I think is for the best, maintained our relationship with our with Paul Kettler, our past member, and kept everything fun.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing is supposed to be fun. Like, it's...
If it wasn't fun, I would have quit a long
yeah.
time ago.
Yeah.
Playing punk shows for
the thing that turns me off
almost 30 years, and you know, if you're not having fun, you're gonna wanna be like, yeah, fuck this, I'm out. Like,
yeah.
Pretty soon into
yeah.
it.
But,
I the only people I dislike that I've met are the people that like aren't having fun. They have like this preconceived expectation of or this level of professionalism that they want to maintain. And I'm just like, get fucked, man. Like, this is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no room for that kind of shit in punk rock. And,
right.
Like, I mean, there's room for it.
There's room for it.
You can be it. You can do it. But
you're gonna kind of suck.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like it that much.
And also, our band does not... The thing I pride our band in is we... don't keep our mouths shut when we don't like you. We won't call you out on a podcast or anywhere where it's going to be historically true, but I will say shit to your
face. We'll talk shit behind your back.
I will talk shit behind your back. And, well, no, I will say, I've talked a lot of shit to people's faces.
Yeah. I mean, I've said shit to people's face too, but.
Anyway. I'll burn a bridge. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I light the way with the bridges I burn, baby.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like you said. I mean, like just being able to play a show with Dillinger Four on a cruise ship that was sailing around the Statue of Liberty. That's If you would have said that to me like when I was 16, I'd be like, get the fuck out of town. And then it's like, oh no, that actually happened. Like, yeah. A few years ago. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, we were on a cruise ship that went around the Statue of Liberty. We ate rattlesnake. Yeah. And then played a show with Dillinger 4.
It's fucking weird, but it was really cool. Yeah, it was amazing. So, I don't know. That all that shit is crazy to me.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, all that stuff, just being able to do that is fucking crazy to me.
Playing a show, a big turning point was, and I wasn't able to make the show, but I was supposed to play it, but supposed to play a show with Laura Jane and Brennan Kelly of Lawrence Arms at the Four Seasons, where what's that fucking former mayor of New York?
Oh, where Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah,
had his speech.
Just like being like. And I couldn't make the show for other
was
reasons.
Was that the one where the hair melted off his face?
Yeah. But, like, just the fact that, like, I was supposed to be on that show is insane to me. Because no one else has ever played there. Except for Rudy Giuliani and Brennan Kelly and Laura Jane.
Playing his hair melting opera.
But, like, what a cool, like, what a cool thing. And, like, yeah. Like shit like that will never stop being cool to me.
Right.
It'll be the reason I keep doing it. And if I ever stop, it's because all that stuff stopped being cool. But that'll never happen. Big or small, no matter what happens, if this band stops being a band, I'll always be in another band. I'll always keep trying to do it because it's fucking fun to be in a band. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah. It's like probably my number one thing in life, punk rock.
Yeah.
And playing it, and seeing it, and listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking, it's my whole shit.
I mean, I feel like those are great answers to kind of leave off on the episode. Like, it's always great to see homies succeed in what they're doing. And seeing the start of Drones become Tightwire and seeing where you guys have gone from then to now and seeing all these tours you guys have done. Like, I'm so happy that everything keeps working out and you're able to keep progressing and doing all these things, you know, playing with your fucking idols and shit like that. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully it keeps going.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Thanks,
and
man.
I'm glad you keep doing your podcast, man. This is a fun podcast.
Yeah, it's a really fun podcast.
There's no plans to stop yet. But I'm very happy that, the last episode that was done in this house was featuring you guys.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Very fitting.
You guys have been here since the beginning also.
Long live the Charlie Siren House. The address is 5620 34th Avenue South in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55417.
It's a monument now. You can come
check it out.
It's
on by. Google.
Treat it like the fucking Breaking Bad house. Whoever lives in here, punish the shit out of them by coming and visiting it. Because
after ringing the doorbell, hey, I was wondering if I could look around. Like,
come
where I used to live here. Like,
come June 1st, 2023, it will be coming to a close. You know, the funny thing is, though, the best thing about this house is that this house started getting rented by my friends when we were in college back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
This, when I started Charlie Siren was with this guy named Wes Johnson. He started renting this house with another girl named Sophia Aris. And Sophia Aris is Lizzo's DJ. Currently, so the first person, the first incarnation of this house was Lizzo's fucking DJ.
Damn.
So there's been a lot of history in this house. A lot there's magic
in the house, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
and
whatever
comes
out of here, fucking gold, dude.
It's coming to a close after 12 fucking years. You know, it's weird to think that I won't be able to walk into this house come June of this year. But you know, things come and go.
Yeah.
I just hope whoever lives in here maybe appreciates it, and who gives a shit if they don't. But I the fact that we know what happened here, I mean, we're sitting in a room where a million fucking bands have played.
Yeah.
Some bands have gone to be, like, explosive size, you know? Remo Drive, the first show that was ever booked for them, was in this basement. And now...
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Now they're the band that they are. I love those guys. Beach Bunny played here.
The Swellers played here.
Yeah, yeah.
Turnover played here. I don't know. I don't have the list.
Yeah.
But like the amount of bands that have played in this weird little room that holds maybe 40 people comfortably is fucking insane over the last 12 years, and it's special and it's sad to see it go, but fuck it.
It had a good run.
It's just a space. It's a space, and there'll be a million more. But I'm glad that I got to be a part of this space, and I'm glad that I got to be a part of this house for so long. And I love Minneapolis.
It's our first practice space was this basement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good times.
So, a lot of memories here.
A lot of history.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely miss this place, but I'm stoked for the future. Maybe we'll do another one of these at the new spot when the next record comes out as well.
It's going to be your house?
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, before we take off, if anyone's looking for merch, music, or just Tightwire in general, where can they find it?
TightwireMPLS.com. That's Tightwire, MPLS, M as in Mary, P as in Paul, L as in Lester, S as in Sierra.
Are you looking somewhere? Are you looking at the camera?
No, I'm just trying to think of. I don't know how to say phonetics.
I thought you were trying to like look at a lens that was non-existent, like down here.
Well,
like,
we have the guy that's had the cue cards up the entire time, just right behind the.
He's
camera.
Looking at Lenny, the cue card guy.
Yeah.
I was staring at your cock, your impressive cock.
Stare away.
No, tightwirempls.com. I try to keep that like centralized, but we're Tightwire MPLS on everything else. So if you at Tightwire MPLS, which is short for Minneapolis,
in case you didn't know,
that's where you find us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, wherever.
Yeah, make sure you go follow those links. Be ready for the new record to come out and get yourself a copy. I know I will be getting putting in an order as soon as those go up. But Tane, Parker, thank you for stopping by the house one last time and being on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
Fucking love you, buddy.
I'll give you a hug here, too, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks, Parker.
Good times.
We'll catch everyone on the next episode.
We'll see you then.
Well, he'll see you then.